the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
We gather in your name, Lord Jesus, to celebrate your birth.
Light of the darkness of our sin-filled world.
Fill our hearts with your joy and peace.
We remove the clutter of worldly things with the joy of our lives.
Help us to worship you with all our mind and heart. As we bow before you and adore you in this celebration of worship, we continue with hymn 85, verses 1, 2, and 3. Please be seated. Please remain seated. Please remain seated. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed.
And this taxing was first made when Tiberius was governor of Syria.
And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Hymn 97. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there is no room for them in heaven.
Hymn 87. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night.
And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Hymn 136. it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in the manger.
And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as was told unto them.
Hymn 76. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon text for this evening is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I think you've all heard it before. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So far, please be seated. Oddly enough, the promise that was given in the text that I just read. The people didn't even care about God at that time. They weren't interested in any spiritual things. In the first chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah gives us a picture of the conditions that existed in the church at that time. Listen to what he writes. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up the children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know me. My people do not even consider who I am. Oh, a sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, and they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. And they've all gone backward. Less grateful than an ox. Evildoers. Laden with iniquity. Corruptors. This was the church. And if this describes church people of that time, we can well imagine the conditions as they existed in the world. But in the midst of all of this sinfulness and rebellion, God in his love promised them a Savior. God promised and gave his own Son. Not because the world was good, but because the world was evil. Lost in the tragedy of his own. Destined to eternal damnation. Now obviously Isaiah, he had confidence in God. For his prophecy is not in the future tense, if you've ever read Isaiah 52 and 53. He's not speaking in the future tense, but he speaks as though it's already been fulfilled. Unto us is born. Unto us a son is given. Isaiah's confidence was well-founded because he believed that God keeps every single promise that he has ever made. The promise of our sermon text found its fulfillment about 750 years later in a little town called Bethlehem. The evangelist St. Luke describes this happening in the most beautiful way, in the most simple way. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Mary kept all of these things in her heart. A few shepherds worshipped him, and they told others, but we hear there was no great revival, and the people went about their own work and business as usual. They were unmoved, and they were unimpressed. The angels, however, who understood the great significance of this birth, they flew through the skies with rejoicing and singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So we ask on this Christmas Eve, why did the angels sing? And we shall answer that question on the basis of the text that I just read. Isaiah says that his name shall be called Wonderful. Now this Christ child looked like any other baby, and he really didn't have a halo above his head. He wasn't just the son of Mary. But he was also the Son of God, conceived miraculously by the Holy Ghost. He is the one of whom God the Father declared, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He is the one of whom Peter confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He is the one who revealed himself to John as the first and the last that was dead, but is alive and will live forever. Yes, he is both God and man. The God-man Christ Jesus, there is no one like him before, and there will be no one like him after. Indeed, he is wonderful. He is not only wonderful in his presence, he is wonderful in all of his works. There is no need which he cannot fulfill. He cleanses the lepers. He healed the blind. He cured the sick of palsy, gave hearing to the deaf, speech to the dumb, and fed 5,000 people with only 5 loaves and 2 small fish. Yes, indeed, he is wonderful. There was no sin which he could not forgive. To Zacharias in the sycamore tree, a crooked tax collector, he promised salvation and assured them that he came to seek and to save the lost. The woman caught in adultery, condemned by her own people, he declared when he saw her repentant heart, "I don't condemn you either. Just go and sin no more." Yes, to sinners of every age, to you and me, he says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Yes, indeed, he is wonderful. There is no enemy of God or man that he cannot defeat. The young man that Nain carried out the city gate to be buried, Jesus said, "Arise." And he arose. Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, Jesus said, "Come on out of that grave." And he came out. And to be sure, they crucified Christ. They pierced his side, nailed his hands and feet, laid him in the grave, and put a seal of the government on the entrance of that tomb and surrounded that tomb with Roman guards. Yet when the angel on Easter morning rolled that stone away from the mouth of the tomb, Jesus Christ, who had been crucified, who had died, had already come back to life. He is risen and alive forevermore. This same risen Christ is still alive, working, blessing, healing, ruling, giving us daily bread, and forgiving us when we sin. Yes, indeed, he is wonderful. Why did the angel sing? Isaiah answered once again, "Because his name shall be called Counselor." Now, a counselor is one who gives advice. Everyone who gives advice is really a counselor. May be a good advice, may not be good advice. But frequently the advice is good, and like I said before, sometimes it's pretty bad. But Christ's advice is always good. God the Father himself declared, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Listen to what he says. Listen to him. Why? Because his advice is from God. Even Christ's enemies had to confess, "No man ever spoke like this man." Yes, indeed, he is a counselor. Why did the angel sing? Well, Isaiah answers once again, "Because his name shall be the Mighty God." When Isaiah calls him the Mighty God, he's not using poetic exaggeration. That baby in the manger of Bethlehem is God in human flesh. The Bible ascribes to him the creation and the preservation of the entire world. Yes, the entire universe. God himself not only claimed to be Almighty God, but he went out and proved it. He proved it by walking on water, stilling the storm, healing the sick, raising the dead, and forgiving sins, which only God can do. The important truth of Christmas is that he is Almighty God. That baby born in that manger will forever look after us with his mighty power. That's why the angel sang. And that's why we sing with rejoicing, "He is the Almighty God." Christ established peace between God and man. Because like sheep, we screwed up. We all went astray. We could never get back to God on our own. But Christ came and restored that severed relationship. As Isaiah tells us, he was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. Jesus suffered what we should have suffered. He was crucified and rejected that we might live and be accepted. Fear, doubt, sin, everything that separated us from God has been removed by Christ's love. St. Paul sums it up beautifully in just a few words. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Yes, indeed. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's why the angels sang. And that's why we sing too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this evening and give us the joys of what true Christmas is all about. May God grant this to each of us. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated, I think. I can look at the schedule, too. Right, our evening offering has been taken. We'll return to page 4. On our order for the confession of our sins as we prepare for Holy Communion. Please rise. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated. Prepare for the sacrament of Holy Communion. We ask that those who commune at our altar be confirmed members of this congregation or of a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thank you. Thank you. Please rise for the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated. Take it. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given into death for all our sins. Take a drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you, and once your faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
faith and life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And please rise. We continue with the Christmas Eve Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Holy Lord, Father Almighty, everlasting God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our light in darkness, the Savior of all people, who was born in a poor place, who ruled the world in splendor, Lord of lords and King of kings.
Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Your ways are just and true. With the people of faith from all times and places, we lift our hearts in joyful praise, for you alone are holy.
Jesus Christ, the Savior, was born on Christmas. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated. Does everybody have a candle? Anybody not have one? You got one, Gail?
No.
Okay. Okay, now the elders will, or Tim will come down, light up the Christ candle. Come and light me too. And then he'll light the first one that he can reach, and then pass it over to light the next one sitting to you. Okay? And then when everybody's lit, we will... sing Silent Night. Thank you.
Thank you.
May I shoot down the lights, please? Thank you, Dave. I just want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. I want to thank both congregations for their generous gift to myself and my wife, Shannon. And of course, the ladies they here, who always outdo themselves, which we greatly appreciate. But nevertheless, Christ the child is born, and that's the true meaning of Christmas. So everybody have a joyous Christmas, drive careful, keep an eye on the weather, and we'll see you, I have no idea. Check the calendar, I guess. But I know the next two Sundays are down. There's no New Year's Eve to keep on service on New Year's Eve. But all the services that are not open, so to speak, they're online. So you can give them their wish. Anybody have anything?
You know, we have an awful lot to be thankful for, even though we've had a tough year. But one of the main things we can thank God for is to the elders, pastor, our organist for the online services. They are marvelous. I listened to this one this afternoon.
Yeah.
And so your sermon was twice as good now. I caught what I missed before.
It was
a wonderful service. So if anyone hasn't listened to it, it's a great thing to do.
And the choir too. You do it all the songs.
We don't even know who all in the choir these days. We had some extra questions.
A big thank you too.
Well, it's just a fun thing to do and a lot to be thankful.
Well, I've gotten a lot of compliments for the service, you know, because people can't make it. They can turn their phone on or turn their computer on or whatever, and they can still have a private worship. So I will continue that until I don't. That's all I can say. Anybody else have anything? Okay, God bless and Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.